guys.
Hey.
This one's an old Swedish traditional song called Varktimen. It means the hour of the wolf. The first part on the open mic from next year, if all goes well, will be a poetry film. A small three minute poetry film. We're going to get a screen in here over the next few weeks and a permanent DV projector coming out of there, and we'll start the open mic with a poetry film. Okay? New departures. All right. And then second, we'll have Michal Jorhart Weber on Jorhart. Okay, next up we have Patricia Walsh.
Thank you. This is called Inheritance. Soul down the dotted line, the disgruntled efforts shine down like a messy giorno. The familiar typing to our soul's detriment, we indolently accept ourselves as pop stars. The flash bulbs pop, try and try again, to wash our crimes to be white as snow. Alarms ignored at our behest of convenience. To good befalls, even results in death. Make no mistake about it, we are kings. Who can be against us as God is on our side? Our imaginary friends can boost our profits. If we believe hard enough, cleanse our souls. What business have I to keep singing in the face of the lost, disappointment, and reneging on our succulent beings, eaten out of our hearts? An empty chocolate shell decorates matters. Carving up delicacies to live forever. Passing by windows to stay sharply in. Resurrection of the trite, a loved one singing. A signature draining us for spirit new heights. Thank you.
Thank you, Trish. Next we have Shane Bourne.
I frame myself nicely in the camera there. Thank you, me. So I've written a series of three poems. I'm going to do the one tonight, don't worry. But anyone who comes back over the next few weeks will be hearing this series. So if I'm talking about peaches a lot, you know why.
So,
yeah. Well, that's in a year's time, you know. Anyway, so this is the first in my series of peach poems, and this is called A Left Peach. You leave the peach on the desk, and before I have time to ask why, the thought pops into my head. How does it taste? The peach is spotlit, perhaps unintentionally. The lamp dips its head to the fruit as though thinking with me. As you leave, I stutter, love you too. And the door shuts in a definite thwomp. The peach and I have a moment, which turns into three or four moments in which I turn the fruit over in my mind. How would it taste on the tongue? Is the flesh cold or, bathed in the lamp, warming? Or is this another one of those tests, like the 89% cacao, the Mexican tequila, which burnt more than my throat, the last of the hummus? Is this our peach, my love, or yours? So to find out what happens next, you have to come back to Ovid next year, you know what I mean?
It'd be a shame for doing all the videos, it'd be a shame. Next up, could we ask Eric Kavanagh to the mic, please?
Rising up, feeling this passion inside my soul, smashing through every hammer of every single own score of gold. Fucking rising up like a phoenix inside my veins, smashing through these darkened chains. Calling on this call, calling this whole fucking place. Like a fucking Dublin Dart infected with MDMA getting off of its face. Fucking rising up, this acetylene torch in my veins, smashing through all of these darkened chains. This passion, this might come true, my voice fucking constantly in my hand on this button that says choice. Fuck you.
Thank you, Eric. And next, we have David Brennan up here. David Brennan? David here?
No, I think he's gone.
He's gone, okay. Patrick Carter, please.
Bill Brandt, who's a German-born English photographer who was always adapted during the 30s to through to the 60s. And his photography had two main strands. The day job, which took a lot of social commentary type photographs, focusing on the working class. And his own work, he was a photographer of nudes. But one of his most famous photographs is called East End Girl Dances in Lambeth Walk, which portrays a 12-year-old girl asserting herself extrovertly for the benefit of the camera, and all her friends lined up on the pavement laughing at slash with her. Photograph taken in the summer of 1939, just before the world exploded into the Second World War, and as a constant stream of refugee Jewish children were being ferried from between Germany and Britain. And during this photograph this summer, the height of the, well, still at the height of the Syrian refugee crisis, but was at the height of the media attention of it, threw a whole different light on this particular photograph. Pudding bowl hairlines, trousers and dresses, grey and pink, rumpled as the lettuce they never get to eat. Children act like refugees expelled from boom time to a dystopian past without socialist victories or unions trading strength. None tall enough to earn hand-me-down the moon as a nickname. Their haircuts, their clothes are the best this past can give, and yet they laugh, punching one another in the chests as the oldest struts with brazen action and a smirk she swiped from the faces of women her mother maligns as slatterns, who stumbled from the Crown and Unicorn late on a Saturday night, each ready to swing lock-fisted from another's coarse tresses. Pavement is the children's gallery, chalk the medium for all the art in their lives. Their only audience, an old man and an old dog who have seen it all too often to yap, clap or yawn. Over the smoky roofs, against the dustbin sky, looms the sharp silhouette of the largest ship on the docks, Hamburg-owned, disgorging more children with stones and gold and rosy mantles to their names, in time to greet the tail-finned bombs that will hurl down, whistling like grim wolves.
Thank you, Barrett. I think that was in the Irish Times this week, wasn't it? Or last week, yeah?
Yeah.
Well done. Ben Burns.
Rope. The feel of it in hand. The smell of pared pencil. That first sip of beer. Wild raspberry. Green tea that steeped too long at the bottom of the cup. An ice cube, too cold, spat back into the glass, clink. A piece of Lego trodden on, a stubbed toe. The desire to feel lip on lip, to commune in love, in all of this, all of this, all of this and more, to the root of sensation, to raw ginger on the tongue, a living infinity of taste. I can't quite spell it out, but if I could, I'd ask you nicely, if you'd like to turn this way.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, sorry, no, it's the, I haven't finished the poem, I just couldn't turn the page. Each letter would spill from my mouth into yours and fill you with an alphabet of love and plant you in the earth that fed the ginger root.
Thanks, Ben. Didn't see that one coming. Mary O'Connell, please.
This is what would happen, or a possibility of what might happen, if all the Latin words in English were done away with. It's called Keep Your Pantheon. People I know dislike the fact that classics hold such sway. They think the English language should be freed without delay from those Latinized constructions that most legal eagles use, preferring Anglo-Saxon words that go with swilling boos. When Bono learned about this plan to ruin the status quo, he convened an ad hoc meeting, as his name might have to go. The whole thing was sub judice, in camera as well, in case the vulgar multitude might hound you two to hell. But while they weighed the pros and cons, a quick vox pop was taken to see what could be salvaged if Latin were forsaken. The crux was that no matter how they talked ad infinitum, having English without Latin could never be an item. To make the Greeks eat humble pie would seem a paradox. Too many polyglots have flown out of Pandora's box. So those who want to extirpate all Greek and Latin roots are a bunch of oxymorons who've got too big for their boots.
Thank you, Mary. You're certainly not too big for your boots. Thank you very much. Okay, next up, could we have Charles Clark?
Centaurus as an opera. Lucretius could not credit centaurs. Such bicycles be deemed a synchronous person. She did not care much for the phrase, something about milking parlors. She never kicked a pail, no matter how they looked, the saucy girls. No, it was Potterton or Montague she had to blame. Her dad blamed Austin Clark in other circumstances. Describing it to Pather, perhaps it was Short who told him, as an arrow in the foot. Archery is now an Olympic sport. Best or worst, it can bisect a fly. Whatever about sportsmen, it is journalists who interest themselves in malformations.
Thank you, Charles. Next, we have Seamus Harrington.
Thanks, Pog. The Stalker. I stalk the alley to and fro each day. My evil eye betrays a clear intent. My spring is high enough to reach my prey. These lethal clamps are known as my cachet. My primal needs do not entail consent. I stalk the alley to and fro each day. At every chance I strike without delay. And when I do, they'll not require a stint. My spring is high enough to breach my prey. This broken thrush was doing a slow sachet. Unlike the other 99%, I walk the alley to and fro each day. I've yet to taste the hooded crow's dismay. He scans the lane before each rare descent. My spring's not high enough to leash that prey. Oh yes, I draw a blank some weeks, but hey, I never show a sign of discontent, but stalk the alley to and fro each day. My spring is high enough to bleach my prey.
Thank you.
Thank you, Seamus. Next, we have Sue Blue, our five-word reigning champion.
Thanks very much. I'm going to, not without intent of advertising, the lovely love poems of Augustum for the season of love makes a wonderful, wonderful Christmas present. I have some with me. I'm going to do one of his pieces that I've translated and published this year. So, I'm going to do it with hands on. Let's see how I can do that. Verabredung. Der Torweg fängt mit Streifen Bändern ein. Mein Stock schillt klirr den frech gespreizten Prellstein. Das Kichern schreckt durch Dunkel. Trügen eckend in warmes Beben stolpern hastig die Gedanken. Ein schwarzer Kuss stiehlt scheu zum Tor hinaus. Flirr, der Laternenschein hält nach ihm in die Gasse. Rendezvous. The gateway lures with stripy ribbons. My staff chides, clink, the cheeky splayed curbstone. The chuckle spooks through darkness. Cheat angled into warm quivers, stumble hastily the thoughts. A black kiss shyly thieves off out the gate. Where? The streetlight's glint flashes after it into the lane. Thank you.
Thank you, Sue. Next, could we have Ray Hanrahan, please?
Black spot, a black spot on the River Lee. It was your rebuke to the city who wantedly polluted you. You took your one chance when you spied two medicated minds in the marina. We put aside our higher nonsense in admiration of the perfect geometry coming floating down the river, sluggish and full, a disk of darkness. The spot maintained its circly shape while it drifted before us, serene, composed amidst the surrounding eddies, and as it departed, we marveled. River, you said it well, an absence to remind the world starting then that man must fix what man breaks, a full stop to all this madness. Thank you.
Thank you, Ray. Next, Philip Spillant, Mike, please.
This is playing words. Does anyone know what the butterfly effect is?
Yeah.
It's like
yeah.
when something small happens, makes big consequences. It's like a playing words. It's called the moth effect. Not really that funny, but anyway. The moth effect. Present at the times when you try to fish for moths, with a light bulb dangling on a fishing rod, with its power being run straight from your heart, as it waves and dangles over the cliff edge, away from the storm. And only one comes from the dark. It flaps madly. Its wings sound like flames battling to stay alive after a puff of the lips. As you are affected by its delicate, flawed architecture, and also by your power, pride, and self-perspective, shall you crack it between the point of your finger and a solid wall, you'll never hear nothing of the consequences as the moth effect is silent. Thank you.
Oh. Thank you, Philip. Next, could we have Michael?
Yep.
Today? I'm not sure you're concerned.
All right, this is something I wrote in my first period in Australia many years ago. Hide and seek in a labyrinth. Playing hide and seek in a labyrinth, my soul looks for a candlelight. Time is finished, time has begun, time doesn't exist. Time is your voice screaming at the universe. It is your blood coloring the water, and deep inside your heart, you know that time is your life, that time is your death, that time is your soul playing hide and seek in a labyrinth.
Thank you, Michael. Next, can we have Michelle Delay?
Thank you. So I think around December time, there's always kind of an undercurrent of kind of a confusion of faith, I think, that gets a bit ignored. So I try to use poetry to make sense of it as usual. This is called A Conversation with a Poet. Don't speak to me of poetry. Sure, I did believe when then, and naive, when three times a week we'd lap the leaves of leaving cert books and hack them up back homeward, with not but a hunch carved of us, after each and every cryptic verse. Where were those words of yours when I spiraled, beelined, to a damp and muffled mind? I could have used the tool of expression to lessen depression's grip. Where were the Inkfield pens when he left, when she was forced to leave and us behind with words at the brim of being written? Where was the extended hand of poetry then? I'll stay on the scene, off the scene of unseen, and I believe on sight of relieved, debriefed. He interrupted me then, adjusted his mic to his height, and stood directly beneath the zenithal light. And it came from the mouth. It came from the mouth in a murmur and spilled from his lips to the floor, where their eyes broke the fall of every word. O veil came flocks of birds to fill the room, and we were in the company of them. Thank you.
A nice Cobale poem to end off here. Next, could we have Cedric Picon?
this one is coming from listening to Queen all day long, and then reflection about what's alive and what comes out of it. It's called Worthwhile. The prior countless steps in the space form a chronological trail, despite the void and the dryness. Each new step marks the pace that calls the forces which later collide and swirl in beauty and madness. The right foot brings up life and might that gushes, explodes and conquers all it touches in incredible disorder. With the left foot down comes the night. Death slips about, ends noise and symphony. Time slows, crystallized matter. All then stands still, suspended, temporarily, in the length of eternity. There will be many more steps, because nothing's right, nothing's left. Nothing's right, nothing's left. Nothing really matters.
Thanks, Eric. Next we have Max Creedon. Is Max around?
Hedonism, overindulgence is so self-harming, and it goes, too much, what do you mean too much? I will overindulge and I will self-neglect. I will have my fill and strip my lining and have the crawls, and my mind trawls through to wonder what might have happened last night. I will taste all delicious fatty cakes and clog my arteries merrily, and be my very own pickled individual marinated foie gras. I will stay out all night, and I will sleep to the best part of each day. A night owl, the hibou owling at the sinking moon. I hope to make it home. I like to depend on the kindness of friends. I feel that this night of Russian roulette will not be the end. I will have too much of a good thing, because too much of a good thing can be wonderful. And it's a short one about mice being home, which is quite magical. Some nights in Ballinhassa, it's very beautiful. There's a rim of trees that look like lace, and I think my little guys are waiting for me above there. There are filigree trees at the brow of the hill as I drive home this late December. Hear it?
Yeah.
They seem to be curled from Maltese lace and sprinkled over with silver. And they seem to be cut from a stitch template, inverted hearts and wreath of linden. And an ace of clubs, and in the blooming a slender diamond suspended. I'm coming home to you, my love. I know you're cozy up there, waiting for me by filigree trees on a frosty evening in winter. A flotilla to rise on the brow of the hill, a parade of lace on the horizon. A teller to farthest sage green hills of the earth's green shoulders it's draped on. And the colour of the frosted grapes, Canadian ice wine for us to savour. And I know life's been good to us, good health to all my neighbours. I'm coming home to you, my love. I know you're waiting up there, waiting for me by filigree trees
another frosty evening in winter. All the things in the
Thank you, Max. That was great. Next, can we have Tasha Burke to the mic, please?
I wrote, this is my first time reading, and I'm quite nervous now, Cole, so forgive me. This is called Spore. I wrote it while trying to make sense of an installation, a very large installation I was building several months ago. She dreamt of a world that could never exist, a time that alluded to be something else. She gathered, foraged, sliced up and reordered, tried to revive the strewn with new meaning. She treated her body like that of a Sherpa, carrying around her own weight and material fear of loss. She pined for a resolution that lay right in front of her, but that she would never find. She was utterly self-indulgent, and alienated most, reserved channels for compassion, keeping her from total solitude. She set to go on a journey, but to where she had no idea, attempting to coax others into a blind venture, some obliged momentarily until they had to return to their own track, or could no longer comprehend the frivolity of this absurd non-quest to nowhere. Others made a farce of the farce, whilst many paid no notice at all. They had their own naval fantasies to fulfill. She longed for them back, got stuck, and carried on, blinkering the littered spore left in her wake. She kept returning to that in-between place, that in its suspended state was both meditative and holding. A place where shoulds, musts, and do's lay at bay, much like being under the sea, where survival and sense are the only necessities, free to indulge, relatively dormant, but without pressure, apart from keeping safe, just for a moment, until the destination ensues. Thank you. All right.
Thank you very much. Just a couple left. Alexis, do you have a poem?
No, sorry.
Okay, next up, could we have Christy Parker to the mic, please?
All right.
I won't keep you very long. I have this very short poem that I've been writing for the last 12 years. Unfortunately, I wanted to finish the process, so I'm going to read this one on the set. If only because I got away with the last one I wrote. It's called A Bad Day. Actually, it's called A Very Bad Day. It's a Christmassy type of one. The rent is overdue, the budget has the flu, the dog is copping too, I have a hole in every shoe, I'm eating week-old stew from the saucepan where it grew. The guards were round and speck about a stolen cheque from a waiter in Quebec. I got it in the neck, they left the place a wreck, they were filthy fucking crew. The drugs I got on tick made me paranoid and sick, I overdosed on Evo stick. I said, doctor, help me quick. He said, not you again, you prick, get in the queue. The TV detector swore like many times before and then kicked in my door. Now a massive fine and more is what I have in store. 6 months in lieu. Well, I've 40 bills to pay and more are on the way. I'm on 60 fags a day. Packets, that's to say. He could call me the ashtray, wouldn't you? I got hi-fi from the sink and my car is on the blink. I must be the weakest link, I think. How much lower can I sink before I'm true? I'm on tablets, herbs and pills for a vast array of ills. I've written 13 wills and drink poteen from the hills, but nothing ever kills, though my legs are turning blue. I'm on Valium and Prozac, panic attack and no crack. I need to get back on track. The day has gone to black, not blue. I say to my psychiatrist, the peace for me does not exist. And here's another twist, I think I've got the gist. I'm on God's hit list, it's true. Everything is going wrong, every girl I know is gone. I'm hooked on Roy Orbison, I'm in every bloody song. Barman, put another on, make it two. Yeah, I'm going round the bend, don't know where it all will end. I wish someone would send me a special friend. to help my life to mend any one of you.
Hey Christy, don't be a stranger, and it's great to see you. And our last voice on the OVL at the mic for this year, Kieran McCartney. A given reason to continue living. For C. You can make things that no one else in this world can ever create. There are so many that are fascinated and proud at the prospect of what that could be. And for everyone else, make them care. But it's a delightful aftertaste, this river of kingly colour. An ocular delight, this stream of purposey, a vein aortic mix of spirit liquid, as even evolved vampires overdose on blends of rich, thick contradiction, of unraveled breaths expired, and even as muses, pilgrim seasoned muses, each leave a trail of purple dripping from tongue and teeth, and even as poets, starved poets, sip the mountain manna, purple poem wine, dream drunk poets, pulse deafened, descend purply their seasoned dips. Thanks, it's been a great year. We'll see you in January.